Hello and welcome to Dungeon Jedi Masters, a podcast discussing everything Star Wars 5e. My name is Todd, I've got Tegan here, and we're looking forward to jumping into hyperspace with you. Let's go! Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dungeon Jedi Masters podcast, episode number 20. Tegan, how you doing today?
Doing pretty well.
Good to hear. Getting close into summer here, officially into summer, so just trying to get outside and enjoy that.
Same here. I've just been enjoying the nice weather. It's actually been pretty nice in Michigan, so it's just been nice to get outside and if not go places, at least kind of experience the good weather.
Absolutely. Nice to get out of the house for a change. So today we're going to talk about species again. We're going to round out part two of that discussion with the next five in the player's handbook. Before we get to that, though, our announcements that we have. Count 3, 4, 5, 6, looks like seven or eight new Patreons. You guys can count as I rattle off the names here. But thank you to all of them so very much for supporting us. Shout out to Lord Fonten, Jawa, Clayton, Ashwaith, Michael G, Drew S, and Kyle K. Thank you so much for your support, helping us host this podcast and just maintain all of our other content that we put out there. And speaking of that, we did release a freebie to all our supporters on our Patreon, Train Heist, which got some pretty good reaction, it seemed. Something that I know, Tegan, you developed, something you used in a campaign. You used that just recently, right?
Yeah, I used it last week. So basically just kind of a fun little encounter that I was working up and was kind of aligned with our freebie of the month and thought it'd be a fun one to release. Definitely a good one to use for the party level 5 to 7. It should work well with. This is a lot of fun, especially with on the train. You'll see there's a lot of kind of the mechanics of just keeping yourself on board the train and not getting blown off or knocked prone. It just kind of keeps the players on their toes and it kind of gives a little bit of a different feel than your average combat. Nice thing with it too is it can be pretty much dropped into any campaign. All you really need is just someplace with a hover train, and you can throw it in there, and it works perfectly. So it gives you some suggested enemies, but you can even switch that up if you've got something that would fit your campaign a little bit more.
Yeah, absolutely. I love little mechanics like this that just add a bit of flavor, help the DM figure out how to run an encounter or something. You don't even need a hover train. It could just be a speeder type vehicle or something. I think you could probably adapt those to that as well. So props to you for developing that. If you haven't seen yet, one of our other Patreons, Trev, had went out and created some maps for this specific encounter, as well as maps for the other adventures that we have produced for our Patreons. Some great work there. So if you look for a nice map to use if you're playing digitally. I know most of us are doing that now. They have done some excellent work, and there should be links to those maps in each of the, as comments, in each of our adventures there. So thank you to him as well, and then all of our Patreons.
Yeah, Trev knocked it out of the park with the maps. I definitely wish I talked to him before I made my own. He does a really good job with those.
Absolutely. We appreciate that for sure. So, and then, of course, to all of our supporters and our subscribers across all of our content, the podcast here, our YouTube, Twitter, and Twitch, all of that. If you'd like to check that stuff out, of course, DungeonJediMasters.com. Look us up and reach out with your questions or comments, anything you'd like to ask about Star Wars 5e, and we'd love to interact with you with that. In regards to Star Wars 5e releases, we do have one to touch on. It's kind of a variant rule, but something that's very cool. Tactical initiative. If you want to talk about that, Tegan.
Yeah, so this is a great rule. Something that we've talked a little bit about this for the starship side, but this kind of brings it over as a rule to use with ground play too. Basically, what allows you to do, or allows your players as well as the DM to do, is you can make kind of tactical groups within your party. So you either kind of have everybody go all at once, or if there's certain characters that kind of synergize well with your group, they can become their own little tactical initiative group. And basically what that does is allows you to, as you roll initiative, let's say three of your players are in a tactical initiative group, you'll be able to use basically that lowest, whoever rolls the lowest initiative, as the group's overall initiative. So if you had three players, one of them rolled a 20, one of them rolled a 15, and the other rolled a 10, the 10 would be that initiative group for the three. And the nice thing with this is all three would go on that initiative. So you always have to use the lowest initiative, but allows everybody to go at that same time. So if you've got like an operative in the party who always likes to make sure that they've got somebody lined up for sneak attack, you can have the berserker or the guardian, whoever's your melee fighter, do that tactical initiative with the operative. And that way you can make sure they go at the same time and always have that sneak attack set up. This allows a little bit more for teamwork, and I think it just kind of have more kind of cross table talk and just really have them kind of doing more tactical planning for the parties. So I'm definitely gonna be rolling this out to my tables, and I think it's just a kind of a fun way or a fun variant to bring out.
Absolutely. I know I've beat it to death, the group turn, if you will, for starships, starship combat. I definitely, that's the way I run that. So bringing this over officially, if you will, for the you know, ground game, I think is a great addition, and something I also look forward to utilizing. I think it will create some new and exciting ways to do encounters, especially on the DM side of the table as well. You know, maybe creating some encounters that play to this variant, and maybe some puzzles, or you know, just situations that you know, the players will come out of better if they work more as a team. So definitely a good one, and absolutely. All right, so I think that's everything for our announcements otherwise, though, so we can get into this. As I said earlier, we are going to touch on the middle five of the species presented in the player handbook core rules. So today we have the Jawa, the Keldor, Mon Calamari, Rodians, and Sith Pureblood. So as we did last time, we'll give you guys just a quick rundown on the species, maybe a little bit of a RP suggestion, where they come from, things like that, and then get into their key features of that species, and then a few suggestions for class choices, things like that, that they fit really well based on those stats. So let's get right into it. First off, we have Jawa, everyone's favorite little scavenger. We know from Tatooine, of course, native to Tatooine, can be found outside of Tatooine, but commonly, you know, found in Tatooine, of course. Very passionate about scavenging and just trying to find scraps or droids or whatever. That's just kind of how they make their living. So definitely a cool little interesting species. These are small in size, so that definitely comes into play. But yeah, so Tegan, if you want to talk about the key features and whatnot, there's a lot here actually for the Jawa. I didn't realize till I was doing some research for the podcast today, but they got a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, they definitely are pretty stacked with their features, and definitely kind of lead towards a cool blend for the character. Jawas are going to be perfect if you're going to be playing either the two classes I'd recommend for them are either operative or engineer. Both fit really well with kind of that Jawa operating style. Fits well too because you get a +2 to dex as your main stat, and then a +1 to intelligence. Since they're scavengers, they're often tinkering around with things. You want to have a good intelligence background, but also dex, because they're often pretty stealthy and definitely prone to thievery, so you want to be able to have some stats to back that up. So gives you a good baseline for that. Going through some of their features, they've got a lot they can do. First one that they can do is a grapple, cower, and beg feature. Basically allows you to use an action on your turn, and you can cower pathetically to distract nearby foes. So just really kind of make yourself just look as pathetic as possible to hopefully draw their attention. And basically until the end of your turn, your allies gain advantage against attack rolls against any enemy that's within 10 feet of you. You can only use this once per short or long rest, but definitely a good feature, especially if you want to have it something that's a little hard to hit and want to give your party all the advantages they can. Could be a cool one to RP out as well at the table.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about the tactical advantage, and I know we mentioned for other operatives, sneak attack and whatnot. Right here, this is a great opportunity to kind of get that in. So definitely a cool feature.
Definitely. The other nice thing too, especially if you were wanted to play Jawa but then didn't want to take a tech-based class, if they wanted to go with the operative, they get the tech dabbler or modified version of the tech dabbler feature. Basically, with this version, you'll be able to start off with the Ion Blast at will tech power, so that comes free, level one. It also progresses, and you learn some more powers as you level up. At third level, you get the Repair Droid power. You can use that once per day or long rest. Level 5, you can also get the whole droid tech power. Intelligence is going to be your main casting stat for both of these, which fits with the Jawas, getting a little bit of a boost to intelligence. The nice thing, though, is you don't need a wrist pad to cast these, so even if you're playing an operative and didn't take a tech casting subclass of the operative, you can still use some tech powers and kind of have a little bit of more versatility with your build. Other cool things this one gets, they get a ton of features. They also get the Thieves feature. So this gives you proficiency in sleight of hand already. So with your kind of higher deck score, that's going to be great. You're going to be able to lift things and place things places, hopefully without people noticing you. So that's going to really fit good as your build as your little desert scavenger. You also get the Tinkerer feature, which is going to give you proficiency with Tinkerer's tools. The nice thing with this, too, is you can spend 100 credits as well as an hour to construct a tiny device. So not much. It's going to be super effective, but it's like 5 AC, 1 HP, and you can use that device to take the use an object action, or you can use it to create a small explosion or repeating noise or smoke. There's a couple of other features that come with it, which is kind of a cool feature. So if you ever just get on your downtime or long rest and want to make up some objects just to kind of mess with whatever's coming up next in your adventuring day, this is going to be kind of a fun way to do it. The last big thing with this one is the undersized feature. As Todd mentioned, Jawas are small, so that's something you want to consider. It's going to prohibit you from some weapons and resources, so you wouldn't be able to use heavy shields, or you can't use martial weapons with the two-handed property, unless it also has the light property. Now, there is a feat, I'm blanking on the name right now, but there's a feat that you can take that if you still wanted to have a Jawa with a big old two-handed axe, you could do that. You just have to take that feat, and it'll get rid of that penalty for you.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be more than one out there that's going to, you know, utilize all available features and things like that, as you mentioned, to get that tanky Jawa. And this one thing that's amazing about the game is the ability to do that. So lots of awesome options there in the Jawa. As I said, kind of preparing for this podcast, I definitely gonna keep Jawa in mind for maybe a next build down the road. There's a lot of cool stuff there, so.
Yeah, definitely a lot you can do with it. And if you ever wanted to make an experimental engineer subclass archetype, I think the Jawa would be the perfect one to do, which is crazy, unstable things happen whenever they use their powers. I think if you wanted to go that route, go Jawa, just gotta really lean into it.
Yeah, that sounds extremely thematic for Jawa for sure. So you mentioned engineer and operative kind of fit this well. Any other class suggestions or anything else that you would recommend looking at, skills or anything else with a Jawa for your character build?
Definitely. So engineer and operative both fit it well. The other one I would recommend too is scout, since you're going to get the plus two to dex and intelligence, one to intelligence, which are the key stats for it. Those all three will fit the build well. Stats I would go with regardless of build. You want to get proficiency in technology. Either way you go, they're scavengers, they're tinkerers, you're going to want to have that technology background. I'd also recommend stealth. They're also pretty stealthy, and especially with them being thieves, you're going to want to make sure you can kind of get in and out and get the materials that you need. Those are usually the big ones. You may want to get persuasion so you can haggle with people about selling your scavenged goods, but the big two I would definitely focus on technology and stealth. You've already got sleight of hand given to you for free, and the other ones you can kind of pick and choose at as you fit your own build.
Very nice. Yeah, definitely good suggestions there. All right, so let's move on to our next species here, and that is the Keldor. Interesting species, most notably known for Jedi Master Plo Koon. And as we know, you know, that iconic mask that they wear, which is a breathing apparatus because of the coming from Doran, their native planet, that has, I believe it was like helium and some other natural gas in their atmosphere that causes them to need that breathing apparatus outside of their own planet. So interesting species there. But tell us about the key features that you get with Keldor.
So Keldor are a cool one. This is going to be a lot of your Force users are going to gravitate towards the Keldor. Main reason, you're going to get a +2 to your Wisdom, +1 to Dex. So if you're playing a Jedi, pretty much any of the classes, but especially a Counselor, is really going to lend well to you with the Keldor species. So this one gets some cool stuff. Not as dense as the Jawas, but definitely some cool features with it. One of the big ones, if you know you're going to be doing space stuff, life in the void. Keldors, you've probably seen from the Clone Wars and just kind of reading other media with Star Wars, they're able to survive within the vacuum of space for a period of time. So within the game, it's an hour of time that you can just survive in space, no suit, no respirator needed. So if you're ever in a space combat and just want to kind of vent the area, try to get rid of whoever you're fighting, you can do so if you've got a Keldor on there, because at least they'll be able to survive. You also, with this feature, get resistance to necrotic damage, too. So free resistance is always nice. So definitely kind of a cool feature with that one. Their other big one is telepathy. So you get the telepathy skill for free. Basically just allows you to communicate telepathically with a creature within 30 feet of you. One caveat, you must share a language with the target in order to communicate this way. Hopefully most people will speak basic, and that'll let you get some good use out of it.
Yeah, that's a cool feature there. Cool. Both of those are great traits. And in your game, Tegan, that I play in, we've seen this. My brother, who also plays, so he joined after. So my character, Achiss, had a Keldor master that he worked with as an engineer, and it's kind of disappeared. But then my brother came in, and I'm not sure that we even talked about this. He just kind of gravitated towards Keldor because he wanted to do a force casting class. So obviously that made sense. But that telepathy thing was great because my character knew Keldor language, obviously because of my connection. So real cool, like in-game role-playing element that our two characters feed off each other. So that telepathy definitely has come into play where, you know, we can communicate with each other when otherwise you wouldn't want to out loud. So very cool stuff there. So you mentioned obviously the Force classes with that +2 to Wisdom. Anything to elaborate on that, or any other suggestions you would give for people choosing Keldor as their species?
So the Counselor, I think, is going to be one of the best ways to go. One thing I like with this, if you want to be thematic or just kind of make a little bit of a Plo Koon copy, I don't think he's done this in new canon, but in Legends, one of the things that was kind of flavorful about him is he used a Force Lightning variant called Emerald Judgment. So it's kind of a non-dark sidey way to cast Force Lightning. So one thing I'd recommend with that, and this kind of fits too with the Keldor people, because they're very they've got their own little class of Force users who are very in tune with electromagnetic spectrum. A lot you can read on there. Check out the Barando Sages for more on that. But for a cool archetype, you can go with the Wave Lightning. Basically, this will allow you to cast lightning, but the cool thing with it, especially if you're playing a non-dark side user, it's going to let you use your Wisdom as the primary casting ability versus Charisma. So kind of a nice way to flavor a Jedi who found a way to use either Emerald Lightning, or you can flavor it however you like to be able to use the Force Lightning ability, but use it for the light side versus as kind of a little dark side ability. But other than that, pretty much any of the Force classes would work. My only other big one I may recommend with it, just due to the telepathy portion, is if you wanted to do a Path of Shadows Sentinel, go heavy in stealth, use your telepathy to be able to communicate with the party without having to rely on comms. Can definitely be a cool thematic way to integrate that telepathy in.
Very nice. Yeah, good little thing there to keep in mind. Little features like that, sometimes, you know, people could overlook that stuff as they're going through that, but there's certainly ways to utilize every little bit there. Very cool. All right, next up is the Mon Calamari. Very iconic species, of course. We know probably most iconic is Admiral Akbar. And then they had their own arc within the Clone Wars TV show that showed a little bit of their home world and whatnot. So that was pretty cool. Quite an advanced and civilized culture and pretty skilled at their starship designs. So it's obviously a big part of that. So tell us about their key features of the Mon Cal.
Perfect. So the Mon Cal, these ones are going to be, for me, they kind of scream out as a perfect scholar, but they could also be a good dark side force user, depending on which way you want to go with the character. They're going to get a +2 to charisma, as well as a +1 to either intelligence or wisdom, player's choice. So especially with that +2 to charisma, if you're going dark side, they kind of lend well to that. But in my mind, I always just kind of see him as a scholar type. Probably Admiral Akbar's kind of rub it off on me for that one, but either way you go, you can make a great character with them. They've also got some good skill choices too, or features along with the class. One of the biggest being amphibious. Mon Calamari are able to breathe underwater, so you get the natural ability to breathe air and water. So if you're going to be having a campaign that's going to be close to water, or just even some wish missions that you do come up with water, you'll be able to breathe under there without any issues. The other nice thing you get, too, is swim speed is going to be equal to your regular walking speed. So you'll be able to move faster underwater, just kind of really fitting your background there. The last piece you get with it, too, is Mon Calamari resistance. And this makes sense. You're going to have resistance to cold damage. Being underwater people, it makes sense because the water is going to be colder. You also have advantage against saving throws that have a kind of a slowing effect. So if somebody tried to hit you with the dark side ability plague or what's that, cryogenic something for the tech ability, and tries to cut your speed in half, you'll be able to get advantage on that roll to resist it.
Nice. So yeah, good features there. I like the amphibious aspect of them. You know, I think definitely a bit of a flavor aspect, you know, if your campaign's not really going to fit into that underwater encounters, but you know, DMs out there definitely utilize that, and you know, this would be a good way to bring that in. So you mentioned a few options for the class choices and whatnot. Suggestions there for that, or skill choices, anything that you would have in mind?
Definitely. So with the +2 to charisma, you're definitely going to want to take in some of those charisma skills, persuasion, deception, just kind of whatever your build's going for. With the Mon Calamari, unless you have a specific build, I'd recommend going with the +1 to intelligence. I just really think that fits the species well. And with that, with them being such natural shipbuilders, I would take piloting as well as some technology skills too, just to really help round out the character. With classes, depending on which way you go, as I said, force users, you can kind of go with any of those, the counselor or guardian, depending on how you want to build your force user. But scholar just really kind of jumps out for me with this one. I'd recommend either the tactician pursuit, kind of make your own little Admiral Akbar style clone, or the politician pursuit would fit really well, since you're going to have that enhanced charisma too. I think that'd be a great scholar class to go with any Mon Calamari you make.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think that would fit very well for that. You'd want somebody that is, you know, a bit of a face and whatnot. So good suggestions there. All right. So moving on, we got a couple more here. We've got a lot of core. This one has, you know, I think 4 out of 5 are some very core species of the Star Wars universe. Very cool. So the next one is iconic green species, the Rodian. Of course, I'd say Greedo is going to be the one that sticks out to everyone at first mention of a Rodian. They tend to, you know, kind of go into that bounty hunting profession just based on their culture, which from long ago and their ancestry is just ingrained in them, this obsession with violence and death. So that kind of leads to the type of character they become or are. You know, I think that with their traits and things that they offer, I think that fits some of that stuff as well. So talk about the key features and traits that Rodians come with.
Definitely. The Rodians are pretty flexible. There's a lot of classes they could fit into. With the plus two to dex, and this being Star Wars, a lot of blasters. Any class where you're primarily going to use the blaster is going to work well with it. And it gives you a plus one to constitution, which you can't beat that. Every class they're going to use with the Rodians is going to need a little extra con. So it really opens it up. Fighters, berserkers, berserkers especially, but even the scouts, really pretty much anything will fit well with the Rodian class. But I'll give a few more examples a little bit later on. Cool features you get with this one too, outside of the plus two to dex and con, you get climbing speed equal to your regular traveling speed. So you're able to climb a little bit better. So if you're going to use a sniper, you can get to a good perch without having to sacrifice your movement speed. Hunter, you're going to get proficiency in both survival and stealth automatically, so saves you a few of your skill choices. And the nice thing too is with the keen hearing ability, you're going to have advantage on wisdom checks that rely on hearing or smell. So you can see with these guys, they're natural hunters. You're going to have a lot of skills that are revolve around either hiding or locating something or tracking something down. So you want to build your kind of archetypes or your skill or class around that. A couple that I think fit really well. One's a little bit unconventional, but if you wanted to go with the Berserker class, I think taking the Ballistic approach would be a great one. Ballistic approach is kind of a more dex-oriented Berserker class. It like gives you Martial Blaster proficiency, and with it, getting a plus two to dex and con already, it helps you kind of strengthen your your unarmored AC, so you can take that and get a little bit of a head start with that, and this kind of really fits as well with the themes. Other than that, the two other classes I think just really kind of fit the overall just kind of lore of Rodians. The scout class is just a perfect fit, and if you go with the hunter technique, which is all about just tracking prey and kind of hunting them down, and you've already got a lot of those core skills already, or even the deadeye technique, and you can make some long distance shots, especially if you're going to sniper rifle, that'll fit well with your Rodian build. Luckily with this one too, for the skills, it gives you a lot of the big ones up front that you need, with proficiency and survival and stealth. Definitely take perception, so you can really make the most out of that advantage as one of your other skills. Other ones that I'd recommend taking, sleight of hand will be a good way to build off your dex. Your insight may be another one. If you're going to be hunting things, you want to be able to get a good read on them if possible, as well as either athletics and acrobatics. But this one's just kind of great. It gives you a lot of those core skills right in the species.
Absolutely. Definitely a fun species there. I've got a Rodian operative in my campaign Sunday Nights, which I think also fits pretty well, just kind of that background and whatnot for him. So as you said, lots of flexibility there. If you're unsure of what to use, you know, Rodian might be able to slot in pretty easily to anything. So all right, we've got one left for today's episode, the Sith Pureblood. Pretty interesting species. So these originated on Korriban. I believe, did they come out of Swoter?
Oh, so they're actually around before Swoter. So okay. I think the Tales of the Jedi was the first one they actually appealed as a natural Sith species. But they've been kind of an interesting species. They've been around forever, but then they forgot what year, but they died out before the modern era of Star Wars came around. Actually, even before KOTOR, except for the Hidden Sith Empire, most of the natural Sith died out. And then after that, the Swotar Empire, once they collapsed, the rest of the species died out as well. But just kind of a fun one, especially if you're playing in the Old Republic era, that's going to be kind of a cool one to bust out. Or even if you're in the more modern era, have your players come up with a cool reason while they're somehow survived the extinction.
Yeah, last of the dying breed. Yeah, interesting for sure. Of course, you know, they have a natural relationship with the dark side of the Force. That's kind of part of them. So, and that leads into their features and traits. You know, the plus two to charisma. Obviously, that's going to be, if you're going to stick to that dark side Force casting ability, charisma is what you want there. So I'll throw it back to you again, Tegan, and tell us about the features and traits for the Sith Pureblood.
Definitely, and if you're playing a Sith Pureblood, like you almost got to go with one of the Force casting stats, or unless you want to kind of play against that too, you can definitely do that too. But it's really built well for any of the Force casting ability or classes, with either the Guardian, Counselor, or Sentinel. So we get the +2 to Charisma. That's kind of your base one. This is also another class that allows you to pick between Strength and Dex, which is nice because if you wanted to play a Guardian or a Sentinel, you get the option to choose which stat you'd want to go with, kind of opening up your class options. You also get the Force Sensitive feature. So it gives you a couple of powers just for free with your class or with your species. You'd learn the Denounce at Will Force power. So you can use that at will. When you reach level 3, you're able to cast the Curse Force power once per day. And when you get to level 5, you can cast the Darkness Force power once per day. Both of these are going to use Charisma as your base stat. You also get the Menacing feature, which is going to give you proficiency in Intimidation. If you're going to be a Sith, you're going to have that Charisma. You're going to want to intimidate people, so that works perfectly. It also gives you Sadistic, which is going to give you proficiency with Saber Whips, Fiber Whips, and Nets. So if you're going to be going with the build that may not give you those, great way to get those with the species itself.
Yeah, some nice features there that I think definitely fit to the flavor of the Sith Pureblood. Definitely would create an interesting dynamic for most parties. I'd say most parties probably tend towards a more, neutral or light aligned group. So throw one of these in and that could definitely create some interesting adventures. I think it was either last episode or before where we talked about on our DM chat talking about PvP and, we talked about maybe some intergroup conflicts. So this could potentially, this species could bring that up. So very cool. I think you've touched on a few suggestions on classes and whatnot. Anything else to round that out?
Definitely. So this being a Charisma build, you're going to want to make sure you get your persuasion, deception especially. You're going to be a Sith, depending on how you play, but you're still going to want to be able to kind of spin a good lie with having people believe you. Other skills are kind of up to your choice and kind of what class you want to go with. They fit really well with pretty much any of the Force classes, Counselor being a good one to focus on just because you get that +2 to Charisma. But any of them really fit well. This one, I don't have any that stand out for the species, but any Force class from the Counselors, Sentinels, or Guardians could be a good option for playing this character.
Very nice. Good option there. So, all right. Well, that's our five species for today's episode. We will get the last five of the core species here in a future episode. So, as we mentioned, we suggest maybe some good builds, class builds, and things that fit well with obviously the features that these provide, but I would always say if you just want something for the flavor, go for that as well. I just like the Jawas as from a flavor standpoint. I mean, they got a lot of great features too, but certainly consider that. Any other last thoughts from you, Tegan, on this group or just kind of species selection in general?
Kind of along with you, I was surprised with how much cool stuff the Jawas get. So that'd be a fun one for a good one-shot. It's kind of that experimental class or the experimental engineer class. But overall, a lot of them are just kind of some cool things you can do. These are kind of the iconic Star Wars classes. So all of them have some kind of niche and would be a good fit for any party.
All right. So with that, we'll wrap up today's episode. We mentioned leading into next episode, we mentioned a couple from this group, the Keldor and the Sith Pureblood, that I think would be good for that Consular class. And our next episode, we will be doing a class spotlight on the Consular. I think a really cool class, has a lot of features, a lot of things. It's your true Force caster in Star Wars 5e. So looking forward to going through that one. I know there's a lot that you can do with that. But with that, again, we thank you to everyone, to all of our listeners and subscribers. Of course, check us out, DungeonJediMasters.com. And may the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.